I want to remind folks, there's a couple of you already on the chat board. I just want to remind all of you, if you'd like to communicate with us, we can't do it via phones because we're down to one operator in the building that's looking after our program. So what we've done is devised this chat board where we can communicate live. All you have to do is go to fishingcanada.com. At the top of the page, in that bright red ribbon at the very top of the page, at the end of it, you'll see a button called chat. And that's a brand new feature that's just been put up there. Click on that button, and you'll see what's next. You have to kind of put, give us your first name, and then you can ask away. I've got a question or two right in front of me, and I'll just quickly allude to it right now. The first question today is from Smart Bass. Ah, that's a weird first name. Yeah.
Yeah. he legally changed his name to Smart Bass.
Smart Bass wants to know, if one were to be living, this is where the sounds, the way this is starting out, it's one of those questions, you know, I got a friend who got speeding and he wants to know if he would, you know. Anyways, the question from Smart Bass is, if one were to be living on a lake, so this person is living on a lake, this is their permanent resident, not their country home or a cottage, it is their permanent resident because that person is living on the lake. Can one still utilize his or her own boat to go fishing? Well, that's a pretty simple question for me, but rather than me answer it, why don't we go to the man who lays the law down for all that stuff? He's on the line with us right now, the Honorable John Jakubowski, Minister of Natural Resources and Forestry. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Angelo. Happy Easter to everyone.
Yeah.
It's going to be one we will never forget. It's going to be different than anything we've ever experienced, that's for sure.
No kidding, man. Holy mackerel. This one, a lot of these days are going to go in the books, John, for
holy
sure.
Holy mackerel. That's the, no pun intended with the mackerel part, right?
Hey, John, before we get into our interview, we have a caller, a listener, who just sent in a question. And it sounds like one of those hypothetical questions, but here I'll read it to you. If one were to be living on a lake, can one still utilize his or her own boat to go fishing? That is the question.
Well, I guess I thought we might get into that a little bit later, but yeah, we have we've made some decisions on fishing here in the province of Ontario, because some of that is clearly on the minds of people. Some seasons are open now, others are opening
end of April,
number of weeks,
end of April, and then
25th of April, 1st of May, 2nd of May, different zones, different types of fish.
I guess the question from this listener, and by the way, he calls himself Smart Bass, is
Smart Bass?
Smart Bass, yeah, that's his.
Oh,
that's
Smart his, Bass. Okay.
Yeah. I guess what he wants to know is, if you're living on a lake, can you run your boat? Because, you know, with all the marinas, with launches, the municipal launches all closed up, and the private launches closed up, I guess he wants to know, can he still get his boat out to go fishing?
Well, there's nothing that we're doing that would prohibit him from doing that. We obviously, okay. I mean, first and foremost, let's be clear, we want people to follow the protocols as laid out by the Chief Medical Officer of Health in practicing physical distancing. If he's doing that, there's nothing that we have done that would prohibit him from going out in his boat and fishing.
Okay. There you go, Smart Bass. Hopefully that you can't get a more qualified. You can't get a more
like
qualified
the
answer.
I like the handle. We don't want our bass to be too smart. We want our bass to actually fall for the bait, Angela.
Exactly. All right, so let's get into the meat of the business here. First of all, before you make any announcements at all, I think it's important that I view my opinion on the situation. I got an email, a rather interesting email in this week, because apparently, John, last week I went on record as stating that maybe, perhaps, we should be looking at postponing our fishing seasons, much like other jurisdictions such as New Brunswick, Nova Scotia, Quebec, soon British Columbia, much like the other jurisdictions have done, maybe we should look at postponing or even, you know, suspending our opening seasons moving forward, because it would make sense in keeping with the whole philosophy of hunkering down. And I guess I offended this gentleman because he absolutely lambasted me in an email, which I'm sure I'm going to get a lot more of when people hear what I've got to say about that issue right now. And that is that I think it should be closed, but I'm not in charge. So I will throw that to you, John.
Well, listen, I would say to your listener that, believe me, we have, this is, every single decision that we have made, Angelo, and when I say we, I don't mean my, just my ministry, but our entire government, has been done with copious amounts of consideration to all of the aspects that surround that circumstance. And one of the things that is a reality, when you make a decision, it has, you know, the domino effect on so many other different things, and this is one of the challenges you have in government. You decide that something has to be done as part of our COVID-19 strategy to try to flatten this curve. And when you do that, you find that, oh, well, if you do this, you're going to have to do that. And if you do this, it's going to change this and that. And you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
How everything is so integrated in today's not only governance, but in people's lives, right? You make one choice, it affects the ability to do other things or to provide services or et cetera, et cetera. So every decision that we have made has been with a huge amount of consideration to all of the aspects surrounding it. And we've made the decision in my ministry that at this time we're going to continue with the schedule of fishing seasons that was previously laid out. Having said that, I mean, we want our conservation officers, we want the anglers, and we want the members of the public to be safe. So everything that we do will be prefaced by, you must continue to practice the safe physical distancing that has been laid out so carefully by the Chief Medical Officer of Health and reiterated by Premier Ford on numerous occasions. Physical distancing is the most important thing you can do to spread, washing your hands, obviously, but as far as contact with other people, you must maintain that distance. And we're asking people to, in fact, we're telling them, you need to act responsibly. Otherwise, I mean, we may have to take another look at things, right?
And John, I'm flattered, being an avid angler myself, I'm flattered that you think that we are above the general public in terms of our ability to toe the company line and stay within the program and practice all those wonderful things that you said. I'm totally flattered that you think that of us. But, you know, the reality is we're just regular folks. And
we expect that from regular folks, though, too, Angelo, to be fair. We expect that from everybody. We don't expect that anglers to practice anything different than we expect from every single person out there,
right?
Unless you cohabitate with someone or you're part of a family unit, which, you know, has been explained, we expect everybody out there to practice physical distancing as the number one single thing that you need to do. And of course, obvious, the other ones are more individually related. Do not touch your face if possible, and minimally maximize the number of times you wash your hands, because this is how this is primarily transferred, according to the experts. But we don't expect anglers to behave any different than anyone else. But we're just making it clear that that is an aspect of life, that if they don't, and we see that people are not, then we have to revisit what we're doing here.
All right, let's take a quick break, John. I got a million more things to go over with you on this and other things. I also want to know how you're coping with it personally. This is these are unprecedented times for all of us,
and they
The more we can share, the more we can talk to folks about it, I think the better off we are. So sit tight. More journal after this. Don't you dare go away. Hey, want to learn more about the last great fishing frontier? Then look no further than fishingcanada.com.
Oh, buddy, that's a tank. That's a
the
tank.
Biggest and most comprehensive website dedicated exclusively to, you guessed it, fishing in Canada. Videos, blogs, how-tos, and GPS waypoints to some of Canada's best fishing hotspots and much, much more. We'll even show you how to prepare a world-famous Canadian shore lunch. If you love fishing, then you'll love FishingCanada.com. Welcome back to the program, Outdoor Journal, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. I'm Angelo Viola. He is Stephen Labadee behind glass laughing at me this morning. By the way, Stephen and I are practicing safe radio.
Yes.
Just so that everybody listening is might be concerned. He has his own room, his own entrance. I have mine here in the studio, which is wonderful. And that's it.
Yes,
so exactly. We're good to go. Derek Brandeo is really playing it safe. He's at Command Central on Bloor Street in Toronto.
With no one there.
He's got the whole building to himself. That is spooky in itself.
Yeah. He's 6 feet away.
And he's 6 feet away, he says. Yeah. Oh, man. On the line with us, I'm sure playing it safe as well, is the Honorable John Jakubowski. He is the Minister of Natural Resources and Forestry and the man on the hot seat these days. And let me just say, John, before we go any further, remind the folks, and this is not blowing smoke up your butt, by the way. It's the way I feel. And if nothing else, people know that I wear my heart on my sleeve and I say it. If it's in my head, it comes out on this mic. And I got to tell you something. I think you are probably as good, if not one of the best ministers of natural resources this province has ever had. You have our full confidence in your ability to lead us through these dark times. So I wanted to say that because, as you know,
Thank you very much. I'm just going to have to wipe a tear away here so before we get back at this. But thank you very much. I love this job. I love the people that I work for. It is an amazing mix of unbelievable people across the province that you deal with in this ministry. So I consider myself extremely fortunate. And you know, I've developed this relationship with you. I've learned so much from you about, and you know how I feel about angling and how I feel about these people, but I certainly want to make sure that they're protecting themselves in that activity as well.
I said all those nice things because, you know, I wanted to also let folks know that, you know, we have had disagreements before, you and I, and we're having one right now.
Of course.
Because I personally believe, and I know what's going to happen here, you know, right across the listening audience, when I say that I believe that our fishing season, and I'm talking about the one coming up at the end of this month, trout season, should be postponed until we have a better grip on what's going on. And the reason I say that, John, is because I know what's going to happen on the 25th midnight, on the 25th of April. I know what all of our local river banks are going to look like from the Ganarat, from Credit River, never mind that, from Niagara River right across the entire southern or northern shore of Lake Ontario right to the St. Lawrence River. All tributaries are going to be jammed with people, and that's what I'm concerned with. So that's why I think it should have been postponed. But anyways, that's my opinion. Hey, we all
and
have
I,
them,
And I
right?
certainly understand your concerns, and believe me, Angelo, that is not something that, you know, we haven't heard, and we've, you know, we put all of these things into the basket, as they say, and we try to arrive at a decision that we think that, you know, can achieve. I don't know exactly what's going to happen on the 25th, but we are prepared, and quite frankly, we recognize that if things aren't being practiced in that manner, you know, I say this to all the people out there. You know, a lot of things are closed down already because boat launches have been closed, municipalities have closed, conservation areas have closed certain access points. And we expect people to understand that life has changed, and we are in different times, and we want them, we need them, we'll compel them if necessary to conduct themselves in a safe manner, or we will be forced to take other actions. But at this time, this is the decision that we've made on the fishing seasons here in Ontario.
John, do you mind me asking you a couple of questions? But I know we weren't prepared to talk about this, but I have to, if you can answer them, if not, because I'm more curious about the process than anything else. How did decisions like this get made? Is this something that you kind of come up with and table it, or is it something that somebody else brings to the board?
Well, this is a decision that falls within the responsibility and the authority of my ministry.
Okay.
But it's not that, you know, I don't pretend to have a monopoly on thought, and quite frankly, I think I have a responsibility to discuss this with others, many of them that have more experience in this field than myself. And so we go through a process. Okay. When we arrive at a decision, we do exactly that. We go through a process, and it's never easy, and sometimes it's anything but cut and dried. You're really riding the line, to be honest with you, because there are issues on the pros and there are issues on the cons, and you have to make a call. Some decisions, quite frankly, Angela, and you know this in life, you put everything together, the fors and the against and the pros and the cons or whatever, and one side is so clearly dominant that it makes the decision easy. Unfortunately, in governing and issues like these, they're never easy. And we didn't arrive at it through an easy process, but this is where we are. And every decision is one that you wrestle with, particularly when it's one that has strong arguments on both sides of it.
I just got a text in from a listener, actually a couple of them. I might as well ask of you, if you don't mind. One is, what about turkey season on April 25th? Is that set to go as well? Are we good?
Yeah, that's and the one thing that we feel somewhat more comfortable, there's no, unfortunately, on this COVID-19, and I shouldn't even joke because it's so serious, where people dying everywhere. Thank goodness we're not in New York.
Yeah.
But the one thing about turkey season that makes it a little easier for us is that it's not the kind of hunting that is practiced in groups. Many times it's solitary, or you might have, you know, two people, you know, one can be a caller, whatever, you know, it's not the kind of hunting that, even if one person has filled their tag, I believe they can still serve as a caller for another hunter. It's not the kind of activity that conjures groups, but we also remind them that, you know, all of the activities that lead to that turkey hunt have to be practiced in accordance with these safe COVID-19 protocols as well.
Okay, so anybody listening that is concerned about either fishing or hunting come the 25th of April, right now, as of this very moment anyways, nothing has been done to alter the normal course of action, and that is that it's okay to go there and do those things. However, you still have to practice all of the other requirements that are in place, such as social distancing and not traveling together and all that stuff. So how that's going to look, I don't know. But I guess we'll check it out. Somebody else wants to know, and this might be completely, because I know some of these questions are going to be difficult for you to answer if you have not looked at the subject recently. This one's, since closing walleye on Lake Scugog, has the minister looked into doing anything to help the walleye population by possibly stocking that lake? Paul C. wants to know. Any ideas on that?
I would probably have to get some data from my ministry on that, Paul. We are always looking for ways to improve the fishing experience in Ontario, and every decision which we made, whether it's closing the season on a particular area or stocking, is made with that in mind. But I don't, quite frankly, have the details in front of me today, unfortunately, to be able to give you a solid answer on that. We will, it's a good question because I'll have to ask that question myself of my ministry. There are so many things that go on in this ministry, and you and I have talked about them, Angelo, offline, that I'm every day is a learning experience for me as well. Because I mean, we stock, I think it was 8 million fish a year in 1200 different water bodies. So I haven't got a handle on every one of them every day.
Nor would anybody expect
you to. But it's an interesting question, and we'll endeavor to get Paul an answer on that for the next time we have a show.
John, how is this pandemic affecting? I know, you know, I've been up to your Thunder Bay facilities, that big building with all the M&R folks in there. How's that affecting operations like that across the province?
Well, our operations are still going. Those that can work from home are working from home. You know, a lot of our administrative people, et cetera, those that do, a lot of permitting and working that they, studying data and stuff like that, many of those people are working at home. Our field people are still in the field. Our conservation officers are in the field. As of the 1st of April, we begin to ramp up our fire rangers because we have to be ready for that. And as you know, we did institute a fire ban in the fire management areas, the fire zones across Ontario, maybe a week and a half ago, because 50% of the fires, of course, are human caused, and we want to eliminate as many of those as we can, because we're concerned that we may not have the personnel under COVID-19 because some of our fire crews may be challenged elsewhere and challenged in their lives elsewhere, and we're not going to be able to get fire crews from other provinces in this day and age because they're all fighting the same thing with COVID-19. So we don't know exactly how full we're going to be ramped up. But we're an operational ministry, as you know. We are an on the ground ministry, and we are endeavoring to ensure that we cover all of those bases while we fight through this COVID-19 pandemic. Yeah. Having said that, I don't think there's any operation anywhere in society or government that hasn't been affected and has had to make adjustments in order to be able to do that, to ensure that they can provide that service. But we have a meeting with my deputy minister, Monique Ralph Vandenbaum and Clark, every day to discuss these issues. And they've been tremendous and recognizing that we provide services, and we're endeavoring to do that throughout this crisis.
Are the field staff still on the job, the conservation officers?
Oh yes, and we've been tasked to do other things as well, because when we pass emergency orders through the Solicitor General, which one we just released this morning as well, and to be fair, it's the banning of camping on Crown land,
right?
Because campsites in Ontario are closed, both the public and private. So campgrounds. And we want to ensure that we're consistent in that. So we've closed Crown land to camping because we have found that that's starting to be populated by groups as well. And we want to ensure that people are safe. There are some exemptions because if you have a land use permit or it's commercial activity such as forestry, that kind of thing, but it's all in the order. But all the orders come through the Solicitor General, and my hat's off to Sylvia Jones, our Solicitor General. She's been busy as a beaver, as they say, just trying to follow all these. But our field staff are on the job, and when there's an order comes from the Solicitor General that requires first responders such as police, well, also our conservation office can be commandeered into assisting in those operations as well, crowd control, if there's border issues, any of those things, because we are law officers as well, and so it could require our conservation officers to assist the OPP in the operations they require in carrying out these emergency orders.
Okay, so just so that I've got it straight and the listenership has it straight, and we have some semblance of order here, all camping is off limits at this point in the province, including private campgrounds. They're closed, right. So yep. That means Crown land, nobody can go camping on Crown land, and all private campgrounds are closed, which means to me that all camping is off limits at this point.
That's correct.
Right. Okay, so that one's fairly straightforward. In terms of boating, the launch ramps, let's get this perfectly straight right now. The launch ramps are closed. Launching your boat is going to be very difficult to do. However, that does not mean that you can't get your boat out on a body of water and go boating. Am I correct in that or am I wrong?
That's correct.
Okay, so...
And then many of these boat launches come under Transport Canada as right. far as operational jurisdiction. But, you know, there are, I mean, kayakers, canoes, you can carry them to the shore of any open body of water, essentially, right?
Right.
Launch them from there.
Okay.
Any boat that you can move manually, you could do that. And those that have boats and their own boathouses or whatever, right. I mean, clearly they'll have that access if they, if they have the access currently. Transport Canada, if they issue orders contrary to that, that will be up to them.
Now, I've heard all kinds of stories about people being charged in cars where you've got four people in a car, three people in a car. I've heard cases where there have been some charges or some fines levied because of not adhering to the social distancing issues. To the best of your knowledge, and I don't expect you to have this answer, to the best of your knowledge, if there are four people in a 12-foot boat, obviously they can't be they don't have 6 feet between them. How does the law look at that?
That would it'd be mathematically impossible for four people right. to have 6 feet in between each one of them in a 12-foot boat,
right?
Unless it was a square boat and maybe one could be in each corner. But I don't know how well that goes. That'd be a tough one to paddle. I guess it could be a raft. But come up and think of. I can come up with a solution there. But. The reality is, as I said from the outset, Angelo, we expect people to practice the protocols that have been laid out by the Chief Medical Officer of Health for their own safety. If you are four people that cohabitate in a family unit, well, quite frankly, you would be no different than if you were in your home, right?
Yeah, we're good.
If you were in your home... you are not expected to, children, parents, they're not expected to practice physical distancing within their own home, and that's been from the outset of this pandemic. That would carry through to a vessel. Having said that, four buddies, that's not carrying through to that vessel, because they would not be respecting the protocols, and they're endangering themselves. I mean, don't have you're in one guy's got a property on the lake up wherever, and don't have three buddies from three different areas of the province right. say, come on up for the weekend and go fishing, and I will hop in my 14-footer. Not happening, or shouldn't happen. I hope it's not happening. And if those are the kinds of things that are happening, we're expecting people to govern themselves accordingly, and we will as well.
My friend, I unfortunately have to go. I could talk to you about this all day long, as you know, but we will have you on again as this thing unfolds. I'm going to make a bold prediction right now, before this is all over.
Bold prediction.
Yes, the Minister of Natural Resources, the Honorable John Jakubowski, is going to suspend some fishing privileges. How's that? My own prediction. All right, Johnny, I've got to go.
You've never been shy, Angelo. I don't expect you to change.
Thank you, my friend. You have yourself a great weekend.
Summer, at some point this summer, hopefully when all of this stuff is behind us, you and I are going to get fishing somewhere.
You got it, my friend, and we will not have to keep 6 feet between us, I'll guarantee you. Thanks.
Have a good one, my friend, and happy Easter to you and yours and everyone you work with and everybody out there who listens to your show. Be safe, be well, and have a wonderful Easter to the extent that you can under the circumstances.
Thank you. The Honorable John Jakubowski, Minister of Natural Resources and Forestry. More journal after this. Don't you dare go away.